quite how I got to be the one to share the dream. But praise God. I know that I'm a believer in dreams, by the way. Dreams have saved my life on a number of occasions. I can remember a couple of times in India when God told us to run, and I can assure you we ran.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I am really a believer in dreams, and I also know the validity of Brother George's dreams, because it is something that the Lord has used with us over the years to instruct us, to lead us, and they've been verified and bona fide as being from the Lord. And so when George gives me a dream, I ask him, I usually ask him two questions. The first question I asked him was it a good dream?
Yeah.
And then the second question I asked him is, was I in it? And if he tells me yes if he tells me no on the first and yes on the second one, I usually groan. But praise God. You all have the dream there in your hand. And I am going to go through it. I have made some notes here. I'm not usually accustomed to making notes and reading from a sheet of paper. But he called it the great opportunity dream. And I think it's very pertinent for us and for this conference, as well as for the body of Christ, as to where it was, where we are in the time frame of God. It says, in this dream, Susan and I were on a piece of property nearby where we live. It says, the land was elevated, and it reminded me of the property that is owned by a great religious institution in the city where we live. As I read a dream, as I go through it, there are thoughts that the Lord gives me, and I just write them down to go back and then to go back over them. Now, I really haven't had the time to really go back over them, so I'm just going to give you the thoughts as they were coming to me. It says, as to the piece of property nearby where we live, this is revealing to us from God's perspective with regards to where we are presently in our relationship with God and His Word. That is the starting place that God is. That is the starting place to where God is dealing with us. He's dealing us to where we are with the Word that we have concerning the end of time, the sonship message. It says that the land was elevated. And it reminded me of the property that is owned by a great religious in that city. Well, elevated, to be elevated is to be up in the spirit, to be in a position or a place by which you might be able to see in a spiritual sense. There is a scripture that is found in Matthew 24 that says, when you see the abomination in the holy place, flee to the mountains. So there is a word that the Lord is bringing to us as a church, as a people, that it is time to flee. Not to stay and try to repair it, not to move and try to remodel it or try to fix it. It says to get out, to flee. I don't know, you could look up the definition of flee, but it means to run for your life. It says, we were standing in a pasture. And as I was reading it, the Lord spoke to me. He says, behold, the land is before you. Wheresoever you puttest thy foot, I will give it to you for an inheritance. Back in the dream, he says, and I noted to Susan that at this particular time of the year, springtime, The Lord gave me the words, the time before the coming forth, the time before the coming forth of life. The ability to see in the spirit, wisdom, knowing the substance of the thing, knowledge is the knowledge of the why of it, understanding the practical application that which is being revealed. He said so she could see afar. She had the ability from the elevated position to see afar. Now, this also reminded me of the story about Abraham when he came a division between him and Lot. Hallelujah. And Lot is indicative of a church. Lot is indicative of a church or a group of people who have a similar message and was included or incorporated in the aspect of what the message said. Well, you would have to go back to the time of Abraham when he got the message. What was the message? Huh? Come out of your country. Come out of your kindred. Come out of your father's house. Praise the Lord. And he did what he did, but he also incorporated in that taking, in that removing, he incorporated his father and he incorporated Lot. He brought Lot out with him.
Amen.
And Lot was with him up until the time that they came to the position or the place there on the, was it the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, but they had that plateau had a particular name.
It wasn't
Mamre. Huh? Well, whatever it was, it's fairly indicative. So, and Lot was prospering. In fact, that was one of the reasons why they had to divide, because Lot was prospering. Now, as they're talking about it in the natural. But there is a spiritual prospering that you do because of the Word of God and the fellowship that you have. There's a spiritual process of a maturing and a spiritual prosperity. However, the division that came between Lot and Abraham was due to the prosperity and the desire that Lot had for that position, because Abraham gave Lot a choice. And Lot chose the very best. He chose that which would continue to build him in his position of prosperity and also the convenience of city life, I suppose. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Maybe he was tired of dwelling in tents and moving from place to place, and he wanted something more secure, more permanent. But whatever the case may be, the fact of the matter is, he chose that place. And what Abraham said to him, he says, "You take this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this." Hallelujah. And it wasn't until the division or the separation that God began to open the blessing to Abraham. And when they had finally divided, when they finally decided, and they finally began to initiate that division, God came to Abraham. God came to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, "Lift up thine eyes."
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. You know, brethren, I really believe God is saying to us in the aspect of all of what is going on, he's saying to us, lift up our eyes. Get them off of the natural arena, get them off of the secular realm, and get them up onto a higher level in order to see the reality of what God wants to demonstrate and view and wants to share with you personally, individually, as well as collectively. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. So he said that he could see afar. He said, "I noticed the trees. I noticed the trees." Wait a minute, I kind of obliterated something there. Let me see that one. He says, I noted the trees had not yet brought forth their leaves. Oh my. Hallelujah. God is giving you His perspective of what it is that we have done. I mean, you can boast your membership, you can boast the works that you are presently doing, and all of the things that you may individually or collectively be involved in, the aspects of it, but yet it says all of that is superfluous. It has not done or has not brought, came to a place yet of what it is God wants to do. It has prepared you possibly to be in that position and to be ready. But it says that he noted that the trees had not yet brought forth their leaves, and the fog during this time of year was lifting. Hallelujah. And you say, amen. Listen to what he's saying. As I was reading this, the Lord took me to the scripture. Let's see. The Lord took me to the scripture in Joshua, the first chapter. He took me to the scripture in Joshua, the first chapter, and verses, it says, verses starting at 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all of this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And what we are talking about is not lives of people who are passed on. You know, I don't know whether I should say anything about that or not. Yeah, I'm going to. one of the things that really stuck me in the spirit is when Brother Duciel died, when he passed on, everybody was quoting this scripture. Moses, my servant, is dead. Brother Duciel had nothing to do with Moses. And what Brother Duciel was doing had nothing to do with the dispensation that Moses represented. Moses was representative of a dispensation. He was representative of a position or a place. Hallelujah. Of the administration of the Word of God on a basic foundational level that is called the law. Hallelujah. And so it was not as though they were equating the ministry of Brother Duciel to the ministry of Moses. And the Lord says, the Lord said to me, he is not dead, he's alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the other thing the Lord said to me, he says, it's not the end of something, you have just turned the corner.
That's right.
Amen.
You have come up a different level. Come up to a different position of responsibility and activity of what needs to now happen concerning the issue of what it is that we have received as the ministry that was given to Brother Duciel by the Lord. Hallelujah. And Brother Duciel did not bring a word. A word. Brother Duciel brought us a living reality of a word that he was imparting to us as followers of Christ. Hallelujah. So here we have. He says that the servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's indicative of a dispensation. It's indicative of a move of God. And it's indicative of that position or place of how we relate to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Moses wrote the law on the tables of stone, and God said he was going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and he would write it on the tables of our hearts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Go over Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. And the commandment that was being given to Joshua, Joshua at this particular time, is an invitation or a command that God is now speaking to you and I as a holy place, as a holy place church. Hallelujah. Now, also, you could go into verse 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Hallelujah. So, it is a commandment and a promise. God is giving you and I an opportunity to participate with Him. And in that participating with Him, He is going to provide for us the necessities of what it is that we need to accomplish the job. Hallelujah. Doesn't that excite you?
Amen.
You're not excited. Brethren, God is talking to us. He's talking to us. He's telling us something. He's offering us something. Hallelujah. We just can't sit there like bumps on the log. I don't know. Maybe your life is not like mine. Maybe your life is not like mine. I mean, frustration, agitation, failure, resistance that you don't seem to be able to break through. All of the things that make life difficult and hard, and the disappointments, the sadness or the grief that you may have over certain issues and certain circumstances. Maybe you're not like that way. I mean, but God is saying, there is something different I am offering you from this point onward. Now, if you're wanting to hang on to the old, that's your business. That's your business. You can. You have every right to. You have every liberty to. If you're satisfied with what it is that you are presently having, hallelujah. You know, God gives you dreams like this to excite you and to get you to understand, well, I'm living down here. Brother Dusil used to call it low bite. Feeding off the stub grass on the sand and the dirt. When you got this lush green living grass that you can just stuff into your mouth without any wouldn't you like to know why He created the universe? Wouldn't you like to know that? Huh? The mysteries of it. Huh? Wouldn't you like to know that? No, you don't.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to know the mystery of life? You're a doctor. Huh? You're a doctor. How many doctors do I got here? Just two of them? Huh? Wouldn't you... Do you want to know the mysteries of how to unlock things that would make people healthy?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just having it once in a while, it's not enough, is it?
Yes.
What about the things that frustrate you? You just can't get a hold of it. You can't get to the end of it. You can't fix the problem and somebody dies. Hallelujah. And God is saying to us, I have a key for you. I have a key for you. I have a key for you that will unlock that. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. I'm holding on to this over here, and I'm reaching. Hallelujah. And can't you stretch a little farther? Hallelujah. And God is saying, no, you have to let go of the old in order to get the new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So here we are. And it says the fog is beginning to lift.
Amen.
You know, I was sitting one day and I was listening to somebody ministering. And they ministered on a particular verse and boy, they just opened it up. And I'm sitting there, I'm going like... I said, how come I can't see that?
Amen.
Have you ever had that experience? I can't.
All right.
They just opened it up. And you're sitting there, your mouth falls open. And you say, my God, how many times have I read this verse? Hallelujah. Fog. Hallelujah. And it's so simple.
Amen.
So simple, so simple. So absolutely simple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Okay, he's saying here, where am I? During this time, the fire was lifting. We could now see through them and saw distinct shapes of structures of religious institutions that dwelled on the land. I don't know that it really takes a genie to interpret that one. Huh? Hallelujah. No, he's not talking about the religious institutions out there. He's talking about the religious institution that is in here. Huh? That has taken the Word of God that we have for the end time and has been denying the power of it.
My God.
The religious institution is something that institutionalizes God. Hallelujah. They make it a mechanical thing.
Amen.
With spiritual overtones. They use all of the spiritual language.
Amen.
But they use the mechanics of church to facilitate and to do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. My body does not function in a mechanical means. Doesn't do that. Hallelujah. It flows in harmony. It flows. And you know, sometimes my foot doesn't know, my hand doesn't really understand what my feet are doing. Hallelujah. But they help anyway. They help anyway. I take a step while my arm swings. Why does it do that? Did I say arm swing? It swings. I don't know why. Why it swings? And not only that, but there's, now you guys tell me if I'm wrong. There's a fluid in your ear.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it, you know. It's a fluid in your ear that is like a bottle with water in it. Isn't that right? Am I getting it right or am I wrong?
Please.
I'm right. That, you know, water always maintains a constant level.
That's right.
You tip it this way. Mm-hmm. What happens to the water? It remains level. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. So when my foot works, my hand, or if I stub my toe, this thing, and it sends a whole migrate of messages to different parts of my body to do specific things to keep me from falling.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was walking down the street in Prague one day with my brother there, Radek, and as I was walking, I, you know, the devil is so good. at tripping us. He's so good at it. He's so good at it. I tripped. But I didn't just trip. I tripped in the midst of a stride where this foot was coming forward and or this foot was going backwards and this one was coming forward. But it caught me at a point to where I was totally, absolutely off, disarmed. You understand? My legs were in such a position, my hands were in such a position that they, nothing could try to intervene for me to break my fall. And I went down, but as I was going down, something, my arm jerked up and I hit the ground with my hand, and that really saved me. It really saved me. I went down like a tree. Hallelujah. Just like a tree. Bang.
Nice.
Hallelujah. So here we are. It is not a mechanical thing. It's not something that works mechanically. It works, doesn't work organizationally.
Hallelujah.
The word organism and organization are not the same thing. An organism has organization, but it's by some other means than what I am aware of. Hallelujah. So we're not. He's saying that we have. We could see the shape of the structures of the religious institution that dwelled upon the land. Hallelujah. I put in here the definitive revelation that is being brought forth in this hour of the religious harlotry of the organizational church system. And I'm not talking about the outer court church system. Hello.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I have spent the last year, 2 years, a lot of time in Africa. And I have gone to churches with bishops, popes, pastors, evangelists, apostles. Hallelujah. This is who God is taking us to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the first right of refusal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And I have come to the conclusion that the greatest weapon that the devil has going for him is church. It's the greatest weapon. It is the greatest weapon the devil has going for him. Hallelujah. And you know, it hasn't changed today from what it was in Jesus' time. Hallelujah. Because the Sanhedrin and all that they stood to it and all of those religious, that religious order was the church system of the day. And it is just taking on a variety of other names. Hallelujah. And you know, I've been in this message for a long time. I have probably been in this message almost 50 years. Almost. Not quite. Almost 50 years. And I have seen not the church message out there, the organized church, the outer court church, not that church. I have been involved with the Holy Place Church for most of my Christian life. Hallelujah. And I have seen what men do with this word. I have seen what happens at the end of the day because men were wanting to organize it and utilize it and to facilitate what it was that they thought God wanted.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a movement that began down in Florida that would put us as a church to shame. Hallelujah. In that aspect of what the people were willing to do to propagate this message. They had this message in the very beginning. They had this message in the very beginning. Hallelujah. But they began to organize it. and to order it and to utilize it to facilitate what they thought was God's will. Brethren, it wound up, they had a membership of 20,000, 25,000, that people sold their homes. They brought the money to the apostles and to their leaders. They brought the money down and set it. They bought farms all over the world. I run into them in Africa now. All over the world. All over the world. Hallelujah. Because they were thinking that this was the wilderness church. Hello? Hallelujah. Dedicated people, sweet people. I was in and amongst them, in and out, in and out. But I also had to work with some of the destruction with lives and homes and marriages and children. Hallelujah. Because of the overshadowing and the authoritative attitude of the totality of what it was. It did not start out that way. But men believe they knew better than God. Mm-hmm. Or they believe that they had the Word of God in its absoluteness to do what they were doing. And you know, they came to a point that they said, now we have gone beyond the Son ministry. We are now into the Head ministry. Oh. We are the Father of the church.
Oh my God.
We're not so far away from it.
Yes.
We're not so far away from it. We're not so far away from it. And then they came out, they because they were going to reproduce Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It didn't start out that way. It didn't start out that way. But somewhere along the line, they stopped preaching death to self. Somewhere along the line, they started preaching something other than the commandment that was given to Abraham. To leave your house, to leave your kindred, to leave your country. They stopped preaching it. And they started preaching another gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, okay, at this point we were made aware that the land was before us. The Lord spoke to me, an open door. There is a scripture in the Bible that says, any door that God opens, that's right. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to move my notes around here. Hallelujah. All right. Well, there was the thought that when he said he could see afar, there was the thought of let's see. There was the thought of the scripture that says. Says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Hallelujah. So at this particular point, it says, we were aware that the land was before us. An older man who was very wise and kind owned the land. The type of man anyone would want to have live next to him. Well, this is talking about God. This is his land.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is the promised land. We are talking about moving out of the wilderness into Canaan, the promised land. Hallelujah. So the older man was very wise, kind. He owned the land. I was made aware that this man was now offering us the availability to purchase this land that he had owned for a very long time. Oh boy. Somebody could say amen.
Amen.
That would mean that you're getting the interpretation, right? There's a comment here. There was a scripture that the Lord gave me. I want to be sure that I'm in the right place. Like I said, I'm not very... I want to go back up to the open door. All right. Revelations 3:7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that doth have the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door.
Amen.
And no man shall shut it, for thou hast for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Didn't we hear something about this morning and in the aspect of what it is that the Lord is doing? And this is something that God is now saying to us. I firmly believe in the actuality of what it is that God is putting on our table. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let me go down here a little ways. Like I said, you just have to bear with me. Hallelujah. All right, and this is, I was made aware that this man was now offering us the availability to purchase. You're giving me a pink slip.
No.
I didn't get it.
Brother Joe.
He didn't hear it. 10 minutes more. 10 minutes more. Oh boy. There ain't no way. All right, anyway. It says that he purchased the land that he had owned for a very long time. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking a goodly pearl, who when he has found the pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Praise God. So I guess I just have to go through it and read it, and you can do what with it you wish. All right. We decided to walk upon the land the man was offering us. Hallelujah. There is an effort that you have to make in order to receive that which God wants to give you. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all that the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Praise God. So it was quite a large size. We began our walk in the forest part of the land. Once the property, we came upon a wood structure, which was one that was built to till or manage the land. I got here, divine order of God. Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, and so on down through verse 14. 2 Corinthians. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Simple in construction, yet strong and timeless. Hallelujah. Time, did you hear that? Timeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's not archaic. It's not antiquated. It's not retired.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once asked me if I was going to retire. I said, I was tired and now I'm retired. It said they were great, strong. I noted the trees. I noticed the trees upon the land. They were great, strong mammoth, taking their strength from the ground of the earth of this property. I just have to share something with you because I don't know that you are familiar with it. But back in the early 1900s, late 1800s in the United States, if a man bought a piece of land, they would have what they call a witness tree. And that witness tree was a tree that was located somewhere upon the property. And upon that tree, they would write the boundaries of the property. And it was, and there would be other people there that would put their stamp of approval on it. So that tree was always a witness to the position or the place of that land and who it belonged to. Oftentimes, they would even plant a tree at the border of the land as a secondary position of being a witness to that witness tree. And there is a scripture that says that we are not to remove the old or ancient landmark.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll just let you do that one. Huh? Hallelujah. We always think the newer is the better. But that isn't the case. Hallelujah. It says they were great, they were strong, and mammoth. They're taking their strength from the earth. We have a place in California. It's called the Redwoods. I don't know if you've ever seen it on the internet or not. These trees are thousands of years old. They're huge. They have taken one, and they've cut like this, and put a two-lane road through it.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. They have another one that was harvested back in the 1800s. And they cut it down and they made a dance floor. The trunk of that tree is every bit as wide as this room.
Whoa.
And probably at the same dimension the other way. In fact, it might even be wider than this room. I don't know. But they had that. They cut through. That was one of the ones they harvest. So when everybody talks about a tree that is strong, I kind of think about that tree. Now, I want you to know, these trees are not talking about natural trees. They're talking about men and women of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a blind man. You remember him? Huh? God put some mixture on his eyes. Huh? And he says, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. He was seeing too good. God had to pray for him and bring him down so that he could see men as clearly as men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if that guy ever was wondering about what were those trees? Hallelujah. And he says, they were great and strong and mammoth. Okay. There was great strong men taking their strength from the ground at the earth of this property. The verse that came to me is to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Hallelujah. And it says in Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, whenever you look at a tree, think of this dream and what it is that God is offering you.
Amen.
It says, I sense the fertility of the ground, that the ground possessed. I wondered at the man giving this the opportunity to purchase the place. I knew he had to sell it before his wife passed on. What do you think the wife is?
Church.
Huh? What is the wife? Holy place, church. Outer court given to the Gentiles to be treaded underfoot. Holy place, church. Hallelujah. Holy place, church. And he had to sell it before this wife passed on. Hallelujah. It says in Matthew 24:15, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Hallelujah. What are we supposed to do? Hallelujah. It says, I did not know the particulars as to why that was, but knew that his wife would shortly die.
My God.
And he must make the transition before this happened, as it was a legal situation somehow involving her title to the land. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. At this point, Susan climbed to a higher part of the property. Hallelujah. And it says, then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountain. Let them which are on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. So it says, I could see three distinct structures. And it says here, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Amen.
And I pray God,
amen,
your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless even to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, at this point I went up to the well. Oh, well, she climbed, I saw three, so I saw Susan, found the well to the place. She dropped the bucket down, pulled up fresh water. Though it was very old, it was still functioned as a well as the day it was made. God is the same today as He was yesterday, as He will be tomorrow, brethren. The Word of God is the same today as it was yesterday, and then as it is, will be tomorrow. Hallelujah. It says, the well of the land being offered to us bordered on a property of a great institution. Oh boy. Hallelujah. This is outer court. I could see that this institution was utilizing every part of their land for growth. Now this land, if I am right, was adjacent to this property. It was not on this property, but adjacent to it. Hallelujah.
says, I could see the institution was utilizing every part of the growth. I noted that they had planted some soybeans, and being it was spring, the sprouts were coming up out of the earth. Soybeans are a substitute product grown to produce money and not food products. There was a move many years ago to tell you that eggs were bad for you. The eggs were bad for you. You can't eat eggs because of the cholesterol. So they decided to make fake eggs. They made the soybean
egg beaters.
Hallelujah. Then they told you milk wasn't good for you. So you drink soy milk. Well, they did a research with some animals on soy products in Jamaica, and what they found out is that the more soy you drink, it builds up this coagulating substance in your veins. It builds up this coagulating substance in your veins, which slows down the blood flow. Hallelujah. And soy is a product that particularly will do that. And then they said that butter wasn't very good for you. And then they developed a soy product that they put in butter, and they called it margarine. Hallelujah. Now they are using soy for fuel. It's a substitute for gas that you put. Soy is a substance that they are using for fuel. Hallelujah. It's a substitute product.
My goodness.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
It's a substitute product.
Oh.
Hallelujah. And believe me, I come from the land of soybeans and corn. You come to Illinois, acres and acres and acres of flat soybeans and corn. Hallelujah. It's a government subsidized product. That means the government will pay you to plant it. Oh my goodness. All right. The more we view this wonderful land, the more I realize what a great opportunity. Hallelujah. What a great opportunity. Wait a minute, I skipped something, but I think I'm running out of time. The more we view this one, the more we viewed this wonderful land, I realized the great opportunity we were given. I began to count the cost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren, his sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whatsoever dost thou not, and whosoever does not bear his cross, not, you know, we want to bear other people's crosses sometimes. Hallelujah. Or we want to make the cross that other people want to bear. Hallelujah. He says, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient funds to finish it? Least not able to finish it, and so forth and so on. You can read the scriptures. There's Luke 14, 26 through 31. 32. The man was selling the land for $267,000. The sum of it is equal to, if you add the numbers together, 2, 6, and 7, you'll come up with 15, which is 3 times 5, which is the fullness of grace, of the completion, times 5 is ministry. The fullness of ministry comes to the completion of the seed. Those are the 3 zeros. 0000. Zaro in the Greek, Hebrew, means seed. That's where you get your zero from. It means seed. Hallelujah. Ma, he's going to give us a discount. He's going to, you know, it's like the guy said, do I have a deal for you? Hallelujah. He says, the man's generosity, he would sell the land to us for $240,000. Hallelujah. Three times eight. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Three is the number of completeness or fullness. So you have the fullness of new beginnings.
Mm.
Or there was a thought that I came to in this. In regards to time, because God said, "I will shorten the day." Hallelujah! You can chew on that one. Hallelujah! We decided to return to our house, but first we needed to finish walking through the land. We had just a few steps and came to a fence. The fenced area was built to raise livestock. One area was fenced off from the other, and I noticed it. I noticed that in it, the second area was an animal. At first glance, I thought it was a pig, but looking closer, it was a very large goat. At this point, a young woman was standing nearby, and she knew that we were there to manage. That she was there to manage the animal. I'm going to stop there because that's all the father I got. But there is something that the Lord is offering us, and we need to consider it as a word from the Lord, or at least go to God and ask Him to verify the reality of it. Because I think there is something very specific, as well as what has been said in the conference in the last few days concerning it. So praise the Lord.
Amen.